out there. This is Positive Outcomes, a podcast for the P&O community. Thanks for joining us today. My name is Jeff Newell, your host for this episode. We have a great show lined up for you today. Tom Nomura and Manar Amori of Proteor USA are with us to discuss a very interesting topic, the evolution of microprocessor knees and how they are not just prosthetic devices anymore. Tom is a CPO and currently the Director of Clinical Strategy and Research, while Manar is the Product Manager for the Quattro Knee, as well as Director of Product Marketing for Proteor USA. Thanks again, guys, for joining us. Really appreciate you spending a bit of time with us and giving us a bit more insight in this very interesting topic.
Thanks for having us, Jeff. It's a pleasure to be here.
Well, great. Well, let's get right into it. The basic question is, how have microprocessor knees evolved since the introduction of the C-Leg way back in 1997? When you say microprocessor knees, you know, most of the time, the first thought is the C-Leg, but that I've been seeing changing in the last while with so many new advancements with different other manufacturers. So I'll turn it over to you guys and let me hear what you have to say.
I think the evolution has been something that has been very beneficial to the patients. I think the initial technology that was introduced, you know, with a microprocessor knee was such a huge benefit to patients. Just knowing that they have stumble recovery available to them, keeping the users much safer in all types of aspects of what are they doing in their lives. But, you know, and that was the beginning of it. But I think as technology advances and we get more feedback from our patients and customers that the CP is using the knee, that we're able to make iterative changes and make improvements based on the feedback that we have from the customers and actually using real life experience to provide a more robust knee that provides more features that probably weren't included in the very first iteration of microprocessor knees.
Yeah, I've seen a big advancement, you know, since I was first introduced to MPKs a long time ago. It's almost like comparing apples to oranges now from even 5 years ago.
Yeah, and I think a lot of that has to do with the understanding of what the needs of amputees are and trying to address additional features of the knees to address those specific needs that the patients are going to have in everyday life.
Yeah, I completely agree. It's definitely looking towards that active daily living isn't just categorized in a couple activities, right? The industry's come such a long way to determine, hey, each patient has a different lifestyle, whether it's because of geography, hobbies, the way they just live their lives. Not everybody fits into this cookie cutter frame. So microprocessors have really now started to embrace that individuality of the end user.
No, exactly right. You know, before, you know, an amputee would be quite happy with, well, I can get up, I can walk around, I can do some certain things that I need to get done. But now, as you said, they want to do a lot more. They want to fit right into society and do the activities that they did in the past and some activities that they just want to do now.
Absolutely.
The prosthetic joint, you know, it's become more than just a prosthetic joint anymore. It's something that's allowing the patient to do these other activities that they're wanting to do.
Yeah, I totally agree. It's just such an exciting time to be able to utilize technologies, you know, technologies that are being used to actually move the abilities of the knee forward and addressing those needs.
So when you guys were looking at the MPK technology, what part did the amputee play in the advances of this?
The part of the amputee is huge in the development of this. I think we talked about it a little bit earlier is that the feedback that we get from customers is what drives our development process. And I think Manar can probably explain a little bit more than myself, but it's a huge role. I mean, everything we do is based on the needs of the patient. And that's the foundation of development when we start development of the knee.
Definitely. There's everything that we do from interviewing end users to getting there. Just direct feedback is one part, but there's another element that finding it unhidden, what's it called? Hidden needs. So sometimes you don't know what you want until you see it and you have it in your hands. You can explain maybe some challenges you're having, but maybe you don't know what the end result is going to be like. So our goal has always been to include the patient, include the prosthetist as well in the development process. So we do interviews, we do surveys to get straight forward input, feedback, direct. And then we also do a lot of observational assessments as well. We ask probing questions to see how are our products being used, how are other people's products being used, really understanding the obstacles, the barriers for our end users, and seeing how our technology can help with those barriers.
So looking at the Quattro, when you guys were starting to get into that and designing that and looking at what you saw, what the patient is going to need and want, how important was it to understand the unique gait pattern of a patient? You know, every patient's gait pattern, or every person's gait pattern for that matter, is different. How important was that when you were looking at that, when you were designing this knee?
That is a foundational piece in the development of the knee, Jeff. Having an understanding of the different needs and the different gait habits or the different situations that various patients are going to be in was foundational to the development. And then a tremendous amount of work was put into developing a control system that was able to understand the needs of the patient dependent on situation at that very instant. So there's a mechanical portion to that too as well. But the control system and understanding those needs of the user were paramount in the development.
And going back to the previous question on how involved was the patient input and how involved even is the prosthetist input, the feedback we received at initial discovery for Quattro was that you can always tell the type of knee somebody's wearing just by the based off of their gait pattern. Now, nobody specifically called out saying, hey, it'd be great if the knee allowed each patient to walk the way they wanted to walk or to have their own personalized gait. Nobody specifically called that out. But that was an overall theme that we saw come forward from the feedback from the industries. You can tell when somebody's wearing a particular knee. So we took that as a challenge. Like, well, how could we change this? How could we use technology we have with Quattro? How can we embrace that every user has a unique gait pattern and allow them to express it and not feel that the knee is walking them? And that's what you see with the technology we've incorporated with Quattro. It really allows the end user, the patient, to walk the way they want to walk without having to think about it. And you can't honestly tell, oh, they're on a Quattro anymore. It's unique to that individual user.
So what you're saying then is the patient is telling the prosthesis what it wants to do, not the prosthesis telling the patient what it has to do.
Precisely.
And that's a real neat concept for sure. What's something the prosthetist should keep in mind when selecting a patient for an MPK knee?
I think a lot of it has to do with understanding of their patient and what their needs are. Jeff, right? I mean, so for instance, if you look at features of a knee, if you have a patient that participates in multiple activities and in sports, it's going to be really important for the knee to adapt to those specific activities. So what we really concentrated on with Quattro was allowing the flexibility and the freedom of choice for the patients to customize their knee for specific activities. So, you know, we can program up to 20 different activities. 19 of those are programmable and can make change. You can make adjustments to. But I think that's one of the things you want to look at is tailoring the knee to the needs of the patient. Another thing is what are the physical requirements of the knee, right? So you have a patient that's smaller in stature. You want to make sure that you have a low build height of the knee. And that's something that we really strive for in Quattro. It allows more flexibility for the prosthetist at that point to have a larger selection of feet that are going to be able to use, taking into consideration what that build height is and accommodating for that. So that, you know, and even goes into programming. What we want to do is we want to make the programming process as intuitive and simple as possible for the prosthetist, but at the same time, allowing the prosthetist the freedom to make adjustments and tailor the dynamics of the knee to that particular patient. So I think those are a couple of major things that you're going to be looking at when you're selecting a microprocessor knee for a patient. Mm-hmm.
One of the things you just touched on was, or before you touched on that, we talked quite a bit now on how this is going to benefit the patient. But as you guys know, as I know from my past experience, you know, we get set in our ways. How is this easy for the prosthetist to just take this on? How easy is it for them to program it? You know, they're used to doing what they've done in the past. This is something new. Are they going to be able to get on board easy and adapt to it quickly? Is there a big learning curve? What have you guys seen?
No, one of the things we wanted to do in the development was, like I said, make it as simple as possible for the prosthetist to program the knee. So rather than basing it on, you know, desktop applications, we've moved to apps on personal devices like your cell phone or an iPad. So all the programming is done through those types of personal devices. No longer do you have the need to actually have a separate laptop or a separate desktop connected to the knee. So everything's done remotely through either cell phones or iPads or tablets, whatever it might be, whether it's an Apple device or whether it's an Android device. We have applications for both. But it was really paramount to make it as simple as process. And I think by utilizing technology that's available to us today, that we were very successful. It's a very intuitive process. Once you connect to the Quattro with your phone, there's a very simple menu process that you run through, and it kind of spells everything out to you to ensure a successful fitting with the knee.
So from my understanding, there's an app for the patient, and there's also an app for the clinician. What sort of things is the patient allowed to do?
There is a discretionary piece on that the prosthetist will need to make as you're going through the programming process. So if you have a patient that you have a high confidence level of them being able to make small adjustments, the prosthetist can enable that for the patient to make adjustments. That's one portion of the app. The other thing, other things that are available to the patient using the app is that they're able to make small adjustments based on the activity that they're currently in. They can switch activities based on whatever the prosthetist program's in. And it also has some informational aspects to it as well. It also has a resettable step counter. They can run cadence and usage reports that they can email back to their prosthetist to monitor their rehabilitation. So there's a lot of things that are built into the patient app, but primarily it gives them the freedom to make adjustments and actually access some of the performance features of the knee very simply. And just in case they don't have their phone on them, there is some functionality through a keypad on the front of the knee that they can access as well. So just in case they didn't have their cell phone, we wanted to make sure that they had access to some of those features.
Something that's been highlighted on the Quattro is that it does not need to come in for servicing at certain intervals. How important was that in the knee's development?
Go ahead, Manar. I was going to say, a lot of the driving factors behind the development of Quattro was to streamline office efficiency, just make it a less intrusive product overall for both the clinician as well as the patient. So allowing there to be no service intervals really allows the patient just live their life without having to worry about coming back in to get a loaner, to get it serviced and all that. Nobody wants to come back in several times, even with cars, right? Nobody wants to come back in and have their car serviced constantly. So with us, we really looked into that. How do we make the life of our users, our customers, just a slightly bit easier for them? And that's where our no service intervals comes into play.
One of the questions I have, and people are always asking, where do you see the future for microprocessor knees? You know, looking at the Quattro today, it's so far advanced from what we've seen in the past. It's hard to think, well, what's coming next? What do you guys think is coming next?
There's a lot of technology that's available out there. So I think it's a matter of looking at the technology is moving so fast. It's a matter of grasping the new technologies and iterating them or customizing them toward the applications that we could use. So if you talk about artificial intelligence or machine learning, those are all things that are inevitable for the progress of microprocessor knees. It's a matter of time. There are our control system that we use now is very advanced, but it's a matter of using upcoming technologies and applying them in the correct way for improvement of the performance of the knee.
And I would add to that, I think I'm from a different industry, right? For prior to working in prosthetic with Prodier and previously to that Freedom, I was still in med device, but in other industries, respiratory. So what we saw there is a real need for showing compliance when it comes to med devices. We've already seen a shift with the PDAC requirements for certain L codes. I'm thinking in the near future, there'll likely be a compliance factor. How are we going to show that the end user is actually continually to use the med device that they're on, their prosthesis, and are they benefiting from it? So what we have also in Quattro that you'll see is we have 3-month data reporting that the patient can send to their prosthetist to let them know how they're doing if they choose to. This isn't data that we see on our end, but it is data that the patient can send to their prosthetist, and the prosthetist can just file file away in a folder, knowing that they are either benefiting from the product or, hey, maybe they need to come in for a tweak or something. So I definitely think that in the future, there is going to be some sort of compliance element following suit of other med device industries.
Do you see any obstacles that are going to slow down technology, or what obstacles do you seem to think that may come up that you're going to have to get over?
As of now, you know, the environment of prosthetics is always a concern. So when you look at the technology and you look at reimbursement, whether you're in the US or in Canada, it's always a concern of balancing the technology that's available of what the market's going to be able to sustain as far as reimbursement is concerned. So that is an obstacle for technology moving forward, is just the overall, I think the market is there. It's the overall business model of being able to provide very high levels of technology.
All right. And with that, I'd like to thank you very much for listening to this episode. I'd like to thank Tom and Minar from ProDior USA for stopping by to chat with us. Of course, if you have a show or topic for future episodes, you can email us at positiveoutcomes@ortoped.ca. New episodes are released every other Thursday at positiveoutcomes.ca or wherever you get your podcasts. Positive Outcomes is a production of Ortoped ULC in conjunction with our partners, produced by Jonathan Stone and Frederick Sovey, and hosted by myself, Jeff Newell, and Simon Beals. Thanks again for listening, and until next time.